Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Not really, you know, because I, you know, if I'm not starting, I really don't feel like, you know, I should be playing, you know what I'm saying? So rotation is really not a big factor for me, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, they call it, I haul it. So I just try and continue to go out there and do the best of my ability.
Broderick, don't do that. Broderick, no! Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Broderick, I think you'd have had a lot of people make that argument for you, big guy. You can't make it yourself. I think the rotation is absolutely ridiculous. Hashtag things we say about the Pirates. I can't believe they thought that was a good idea.
I know. This is high school.
Right? I know the Ravens have done some of that this year. Really, you never see it in the NFL. And I guess their argument would be, we took two tackles with first-round picks, so we want them both to play. But, yo, if you're substituting one for the other, you are always having one on the bench. It doesn't really change much of anything. I don't think Broderick can say that after the game, though. You can't have three penalties on a drive that could have gone 99 yards for a touchdown and then say, yeah, if I'm not starting, I shouldn't be playing. A lot of people would have come on the radio today. A lot of people would have called into the radio station today. A lot of people had said online, if he's not going to start, don't play him. But I don't think he can be the guy to say it. I think that ultimately comes off as a bad look, Doran.
Mm-hmm. There's a caller that called Callis's early morning show whenever you're still sleeping.
Yeah.
And I was listening, and I thought you made a great point. He said that Broderick Jones, a first-round pick. He's like, and there are people out there making, some people out there making the excuse that, oh, well, he's getting moved around. He's getting, you know, they're messing with his mind. He's going to play right tackle. He's going to play left tackle. The things that he did wrong yesterday, it doesn't matter. Your mind, like, that has nothing to do with mentality. It has nothing to do with being a young player. If he's playing left tackle, if he's playing right tackle, like, there is a difference, but there's not a big difference. I saw him get pushed back a lot. And whenever you're committing penalties, that has nothing to do with the coaching staff messing your mind up. That is you. That is on you. That is on you as a player. And you have too high of pedigree as a tackle, as a Georgia prospect, to come in here and to commit the penalties and do the things that you were doing. And it's a shame that he has regressed this much. And I don't know where and how that happened. Like, last year, he plays right tackle, and he does pretty well, and it obviously revamped their offensive line at the time that they put him in. And now, he looks like he doesn't even want to be involved. It is very mind-boggling to me that he went out there, and he had that performance that he did, and then now, it's like, okay, like, what do we do with a guy that we traded up for 2 years ago?
Right.
Like, what do you do?
I think everything you said is 100% accurate, that you are a first-round pick, and last season, after he got in there, they ran the ball effectively. They didn't before he got in there. Then after he got in there, they did run the ball effectively. He was good for them in the running game last year. He might have been great for them in the running game last year. He has absolutely regressed. When he's in, he needs to play better. There is zero argument I'm willing to entertain on that.
Right.
You need to play better. When you're committing those penalties, like you said, Doran, it's because you're losing the battle. And so what do? You hold. So he needs to play better. And there shouldn't be excuses. That being said, they're screwing this guy up. It's so stupid that they're doing this with him. The general manager said this offseason, Broderick Jones is our left tackle of the future. And so they play him at right, and then they rotate him at right? Like, again, he needs to play better, but what the hell are they doing? And I know that you say that right and left aren't that different, and I think most people agree with you. The one guy who doesn't agree with you is Dan freaking Moore, who says he can't play on the right side.
But he's playing left, and he's doing well, and Broderick Jones hasn't played well enough to sit him down.
I get that too.
Like, how, if you're the Steelers, you're in a situation, and you we're saying that they're messing with him. It's like, okay, like, we want this guy, we want our pedigree first round pick to be a starter, but he's not giving us anything to make him a starter. And the guy that is a starter is playing consistent and playing better than this guy. So why would we sit that guy and play the pedigree guy whenever he doesn't even show he has pedigree?
I mean, I'd like to give him more of a shot at left tackle to see if he can be a good left tackle.
I don't think it's going to look any different.
It might not, and he might be hurt, too. I mean, he definitely is hurt. How much effect does that have? I'm not sure. It can't help. It can't help. And I don't think that your arm magically heals itself like your Piccolo from Dragon Ball Z if you're playing on the left side. Do you understand that reference? Probably not.
No, but I can get it.
Yeah. That guy's arm would get cut off, and then it would grow back. He was a green guy.
Yeah,
he would get hurt, and then it would regenerate. Yeah. That's what it would just pop right back out. It would take some time, you know, and then pop right back out. Mm-hmm. I don't think moving Broderick Jones from right to left means his elbow's going to heal.
No.
Like, he's going to be banged up all season. So what they should have done, if they were going to bench him, then just bench him and maybe he gets healthy. Like, do that.
Right.
Don't play him. And I'm guessing he's not going to play at all next week because his performance would dictate that you're not going to play. Because he played like ass. Like, that's what makes this such a difficult conversation for me is I think they're doing this wrong. I think they've been doing it wrong the entire offseason. But at the same time, you are a first-round pick who was pretty good at right tackle last year. One drive, you have three penalties. My God, man, I want to come on here and defend you. Defend yourself. Help yourself. Help me help you. Because he didn't do himself any favors, and then he called it out after the game. What happened last time? A Steelers offensive lineman talked back to a coaching staff. It was Chuke Okorafor, and he got his ass benched. And by the way, did he quit on the New England Patriots?
I don't know. I think he got benched again.
He got benched again, and then they put him on the, hey, he doesn't want to be here anymore list. I think that's what they call it in the NFL.
Yep.
He don't want to be here anymore list.
Yep.
So if you're Broderick Jones, man, dude, do you want to play? Yes. So when you get a chance, play well. I don't think they put him in a position to succeed. The rotation is stupid. But you're right, Dorn. Play the game.
Play. Like, I mean, the injury, everything, the, you know, messing with his mind, that has nothing to do with, you know, penalties. It has nothing to do with getting pushback.
If it does, you got a big issue. Yeah. Like, if the reason why in his own mind he struggled is because they're yo-yoing him, then that's not a player that's mentally tough enough to get this done.
Like, we saw it in the preseason.
Yeah.
Same thing. Saw it in the preseason. Like, it's, I think it, and I don't even, I'm not even on the wavelength of thinking that it's the injury. I don't even think the injury is that bad. If there is even an injury, like, has there been, like, is he limited in practice?
Has not been.
Right.
So he's healthy. At least he hasn't been listed as limited.
He's not listed.
I don't think he's ever shown up on an injury report.
So I don't think that's an excuse anymore either.
He can't play this weekend.
No.
You cannot play him against the Chargers. Because what you've seen in stadium is bad.
And what they got.
Dude, I think we're in for a 9-6 game on Sunday. Oh, not to look too far ahead, but
great.
Jim Harbaugh wants to play it that way. He wants to run the football. J.K. Dobbins has been reinvigorated. They play good defense over there. It's almost like two teams staring each other in the mirror, except you would argue, obviously, that they've got a better quarterback. But we're reacting to what's happened, not giving our premonitions on what's going to happen. 412-928-9370. Can you make heads or tails of this Broderick Jones situation? How much of this is on the Steelers? How much of this is on Broderick? I think we found the nuance in between, Doran, that there's a little column A, a little column B. But what do you think? 412-928-9370. Give us a ring on the fan hotline. That's presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Best caller on this subject, Doran, wins Sebastian Maniscalco tickets at PPG Paints Arena on September 26th.
He's funny.
Oh, he's a comedian.
Very funny.
Oh, I thought he was a singer.
You've probably seen him before. He talks about his like Italian family all the time. He's like, my Italian family, we go sit down and everybody's talking. No.
I am looking at this dude right now. I just Googled him. Sebastian Maniscalco. I can't say I've ever seen him in my entire life.
You should watch one of his specials. You'd be howling.
I'm a big stand-up comedy guy. How did this guy get under my radar here?
Very good. Very good. Very funny. Right.
So best caller wins a pair of tickets to watch some stand-up comedy. Sebastian Maniscalco, PPG Paints Arena on September 26th. We should get him in here.
We should. No, for sure. He's hilarious.
When's September? 10 days from now. Yeah, we'll work on that.
All right.
Imagine if he walked up in here. Hey, man, I really enjoy your music. You're just such a wonderful trombonist.
You give him some content for a show.
Oh, my God. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. I really, 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 Doran, did not like that Broderick Jones brought it up after the game. And I get caught in between on that, too, because when guys don't say anything, I say, why aren't you saying stuff? And then when they say something, I rip them for saying it. But that was quiet part out loud. Like, he made it sound like he got burned because they're yo-yoing him.
Right. Nah.
When you're on the field, you've got to perform. He did not perform. So give us a ring on all this.
Like, think about it. Oh, man, they're messing with me. I'm either playing left, I'm playing right. I'm switching in and out on Sirius. Let me go hold.
Yeah, right.
No.
If anything, T.J. Watt said after the game he was dead because of the altitude, that he was tired. And I think you could see that from the Steelers' defense a little bit. They didn't play as good late as they did for most of the football game, which, you know, happened to both of my teams this weekend. And Watt was... He said, listen, like DeMarvin Leal was out rushing the passer late in that game. He was tired. The altitude, it's not easy. It was like 90 degrees. If anything, Broderick, you should be fresh. Like, they're going to rotate D-line and they're going to rotate edge rushers. You never see tackles get rotated. You should be fresh. I hated that, but where do you come down on it? 412-928-9370. This offensive line coverage on The Fan, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. How did Troy Faltanu play in the game? We'll break that down. Also, Mike Tomlin did something after the game that I found to be hokey. I'll tell you what that is.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Dexter. We were talking about Broderick Jones being on the right side, should be on the left side, this and that. Someone texts in, if Doran thinks there isn't that big of a difference between left and right, tell him to go to the bathroom and try to wipe his butt with the hand that he's not used to doing, LOL. I don't think those are the same.
I can still do it.
Can you?
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk about football. I want to focus on that text real quick.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever wiped my butt with my left hand.
I can do it.
I don't know that I can.
Yes, you can.
I don't know, man. That's totally different. Let me see. I don't know that I could do it. I really don't. I'm never going to try.
It's not even that, like, I mean, okay.
You've had injuries. Have you ever had to do it with the other hand?
Yeah. Yeah. I had surgery on my thumb. I had a cast.
So you can't get the cast up in there.
I did everything with my left hand. Think about it. I had a cast for months.
I would imagine, though, that wiping the backside is one of the more difficult things you had to do with the hand.
Well,
some other things maybe as well. Callis, you ever wipe with the opposite hand?
Yeah, I'm ambidextrous in that regard.
Really? So, like, this is you do that multiple times a week?
No, I just sometimes I'm feeling one way, some the other. It's not really an alternate thing.
What? Thoughtfully non-rhythmic with the butt wiping there. That's insane to me. I can't believe anybody is like that. What do you make of Russ Wilson getting a game ball after this one, Doran?
Very odd.
Very odd.
Well, I guess. I mean, he's going back to a team that obviously didn't want him, and they knew how important it was for Russell Wilson to get this win and want to go back and actually play in this game. And I guess, you know, for him to be – that tells me that he was being a good sport all week or a good sport all day yesterday and, you know, not being a bad seed and saying like, oh man, I can't believe I'm not playing. Like, this is my moment. I need to go back and I have this chip on my shoulder and they're not even giving me a chance. And I'm just going to, you know, have this frown on my face because I'm not playing. That tells me that he was a good sport all week. He was a good teammate throughout the game. And like, we're going to reward you for that. I don't know.
I like that.
Yeah.
Cause the way I read it initially was, God, that's such like a hokey college football kind of coach thing to do. But one of the knocks on Russ is that some of his teammates in the past haven't liked him. And to give him a game ball in that moment, I don't think that Mike Tomlin would give it to him if he were being a jerk off.
Right.
Yeah. during the week.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Fields was asked about it after the game. His answer, awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all know Russ got kind of did dirty last year. So I know he wished, you know, he could have played today in this game. But it's awesome, you know, getting a win for him. He got a petty game ball. So, yeah, it's great getting a dub for Russ, for sure.
Kind of game ball?
Petty game ball, you know, because he was here. So a few guys got it, him, Brandon, and Cordis too. So, yeah.
Petty game ball.
That must be what they call it, right?
I guess. I've never heard that either, but that's exactly what that was. We're going to be petty. We come in here. We beat you, Sean Payton. You got the quarterback you want, Sean Payton. We're beating you with our backup. You got the guy you want. We got to beat you with our backup, so we'll give the game ball to the guy you kicked out of town, because maybe if Russ was there, they win that game.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if Russ is the quarterback of Denver yesterday, you're going to need to put up more than 13, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Russ probably... late in the game, putting the ball in the end zone at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, T.J. Watt admitted that they got tired because it's, you know, thin air, things of that nature. So I guess now I don't mind it. I did find it odd. And you do wonder if it's also a little crumb Mike Tomlin throws Russell Wilson's way. Hey, listen, bud. Like, I know you didn't get to play. I know this whole thing sucks. Here's a little something-something for your mantle or something like that.
NFL coaches do that a lot.
Yeah.
Whenever there's, like, a player that, you know, comes from a different team, you usually spike up their production just because it's the team that they're going against or the team that they played for before. That happens a lot. So this kind of makes sense. At first, I was like, why is Russell Wilson getting the game ball? But then I started thinking about it. I was like, oh, well, he was probably a good soldier all week. He was a good soldier during. And let me say this.
Say it.
There's so many people out there that are so upset about Russell Wilson warming up 3 hours before the game by himself, like a look at me guy. That's not the case. That's his routine. Everybody has a routine. He doesn't break his routine, no, whether he's playing or not. That's the things that he does. That's the things that a lot of successful people do. They have a routine. They stick to it no matter what the circumstances are. That wasn't a look at me moment. He knew he wasn't going to play, but he is not going to break his routine like he would play or approach every single game or every single day. So stop it with that.
If he's healthy enough to go out on the field and run around or even not run around but throw passes and just go through your routine, you're going to go through your routine.
Yeah.
You might have to play, too. Like, that's a legitimate reality. We saw it in the NFC Championship a couple of years ago. You know, Brock Purdy's out there throwing with his opposite hand because they didn't have the third emergency quarterback rules in place at that point.
Uh-huh.
Like, Justin Fields runs. Justin Fields is going to take some hits. He's going to take some bad sacks. He could get hurt. Kyle Allen then's a statue back there. He could, like, there's a chance he might have to play. So you're going to prepare for that. We'll get into the injury report coming up in the next segment, and we'll get back into the backyard brawl as well in the next segment. But right now, some calls at 412-928-9370. Anthony from Oakland, first up today. Good morning to you, Anthony. How you doing, buddy?
Thank you. You know, the continuity, the NFL has to look at their product right now, because you guys are 100% correct. The officials are playing too much of a prominent role in the outcomes here. I mean, in the continuity. I mean, it was almost unwatchable, that Steeler game, but there was some others I watched were the same. It was horrific what was going on here with these flags.
I agree with you, Anthony, and it happened in the backyard brawl too, and I think it is a problem now that is in the highest levels of football. Like, no one goes to the game to watch the officials, and no one wants to see a play that is aesthetically pleasing.
Mm.
And not be able to cheer because you're waiting for a flag to come out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we saw the hit to the head call on the Denver safety. They did not throw that flag until it was Calvin Austin, right?
Yeah.
They didn't throw the flag until it was clear Calvin Austin wasn't going to get up on time. Like, that was not a play that the officials saw live, real time, and threw the flag. That was playing the result.
Mm-hmm.
When Calvin Austin did not get up, that's when we saw the flag come out. And that, to me, is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it happens way too often.
I'm not really this guy, but I do feel like this does play a factor in how upset that people are with the officiating. Like, this has a little bit to do with people in fantasy and gambling as well. You know, you're changing a lot whenever those things happen. Like, look at George Pickens, whatever his over was that people take. Gambling's a part of the sport now. It's a part of it. And it's a heavy part. I mean, I would love to know how many tickets were submitted for the Steelers-Broncos game on Sunday. I'll bet you thousands and thousands and thousands. that play, if George Pickens does complete that and there wasn't, you know, I mean, and I know that it was maybe blatant. I mean, you could argue about the call, but the call was a call. There was a penalty and it came back. That changes people's pockets a lot.
Yes, it does, man. And the thing that I had that really drove me nuts about this game was I didn't think that they were consistent either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times did T.J. Watt get held? How many times did Alex Highsmith get held? And then you call Broderick Jones a couple of times. I'm not even saying that those weren't holds.
Right, right.
But, like, call it like a strike zone. Like, if you're constantly giving one pitcher just off the outside corner, you sure as bleep better be giving it to the other guy off the outside corner. If it's going to be bad, seriously, make it bad for both. Have consistency. But we don't see that. And we talked about this last week. 21 million people watched every game last week on average. The highest ever. I don't think the product's very good right now.
Nope.
And yet people are still watching. Why? Because just like you said, gambling and fantasy. People are, they're captive audiences.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we do. It's cultural. We wake up on Sunday mornings, we go and we sit on the toilet, and we set our fantasy lineups, and we place our bets. And so regardless of how good or bad the product is, we are locked in from start until finish. And I think they know that. They can get away with anything because they know we're going to watch. All right, coming up next, Steelers injury report. Pretty clean? Pretty clean? We'll give it to you, and then we'll take another look at the backyard brawl. 412-928-9370. Got some Steelers calls on the line. We'll get to you. So much going on, and I have planned nothing because I was late today. The injury report brought to you by Shenderovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. Mike Tomlin after the game on the injuries.
Couple guys got banged up along the way. Pruitt's got a knee. Tyler Matakavich probably got a hamstring of some description. I'll give you guys an update on their status next time we come together.
I thought that Tyler Matakavich had a hell of a tackle on special teams.
Fantastic.
He sent that dude into next week. I mean, he absolutely clobbered him. One of the key moments of the game, twice you saw Dante Jackson go down with an injury. So who comes in? Corey Trice, and has one of the plays of the game defensively. Ain't that the way it goes?
Well, so happy for him. So happy for him. Been battling. Goes in there. That was his first play, right?
I think
that was his first snap.
I think it was.
It's fantastic.
That's awesome for him.
Love it.
Boy, he just looks different, too.
Mm-hmm.
He looks different, too.
Yeah, he's a good player.
You hear it all the time in college. Like, there are certain teams that got off the bus, and you're like, okay, that team plays in the SEC. Okay, that team looks it. Corey Trice, look, Dante Jackson's been good. Let's call that what it is. I've been wrong on him so far.
Yep.
But for the get off the bus quotient, Corey Trice looks SEC.
Yeah.
Dante Jackson looks Mac. And he just does. Not Chris, but, you know, Maction.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So there's your injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, and Fishman. They've got your back. Not your wallet. Let's take another Steelers call and let's transition to the brawl for a moment here. John in Johnstown. Hello. Is this Starkey? John, are you there? Going once. Okay, what's up, John?
Okay, first of all, sorry. I forgot. My name is Brady, actually, not John. But real quick, I want to talk two things. One, Steelers, and one, backyard brawl.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a page out of a gentleman from a Cleveland sports radio show and give you guys two numbers, and I want to see if you guys can figure it out real quick.
Go ahead.
Okay. So the first number is 124, and the second number is 91.
All right, go on.
The first number, 124, is the total amount of plays offensively the Pittsburgh Steelers have ran on offense so far this year. And 91 is the total amount of points scored by the New Orleans Saints. I'm just saying this because going into this offseason looking for an offensive coordinator, we hired Arthur Smith just a tad bit early for my liking, and we let a really good offensive coordinator candidate in Clint Kubiak walk right into the Saints, and now they turned Derek Carr into like some second coming of Drew Brees. And now... as for the backyard brawl, Crowley, how did the Mountaineers let Pitt tie that game when neither one of Eli Holstein or Desmond Reed are on the field? And in the wise words of Pat Bostic, before you cut me off, eat that.
Yeah, that's allowed. You can say eat it. I deserve it today. That's the
eat
way
that.
It goes.
Eat that.
Hey, that's a rivalry, right? Anybody can text me, and we got a lot of texts today. I can eat that. That's fine. That's the way it goes. For Pitt, real quick. Look, I get caught in between on this. West Virginia choked, there's no doubt. Pitt took it. Pitt took it, though, too. Mm-hmm. So it's not they let. Pitt did. Pitt accomplished. Pitt succeeded. And so a lot of West Virginia fans are going to go, we let that one slip away. Absolutely fine. That's the way they're going to look at it. We are going to look at it. Pitt fans got to look at it. We took that bleep.
Yes.
So that's the way that goes. As for Clint Kubiak.
That's a great, great point, actually.
It is. However, would it look different? Would they allow it to look different? Would Justin Fields have better numbers if Clint Kubiak were calling the plays? I can't say yes because I think the game plan in each of the last two games was, hey, Justin, don't lose the game.
Uh-huh.
And I think no matter who the offensive coordinator was, I think it could have been Kyle Shanahan as the offensive coordinator. I think Mike Tomlin is saying to that coordinator, to his quarterback, go out there and don't lose the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure it would make that much of a difference. That's my opinion. I don't know where you come down on it.
This is just why I want to see Russ.
Yeah.
That's exactly why. Like, I just want to see if the handcuffs do come off with Russ underneath center. Like, I thought that was a good point. I don't know if I think the jury's still out on Arthur Smith. I think he's done a pretty good job. That's just me. Just seeing how different the offense is, but I want to see the explosion that you are seeing with Clint Kubiak and the Saints and Derek Carr. And to me, I think that that's to be determined because Russ hasn't been in there yet. Maybe it does look like that. Maybe they are. Maybe Arthur Smith's offense is explosive like Clint Kubiak's with a guy like Russell Wilson, a la a guy like Derek Carr. I don't know.
Well, and I mean, I can't get past this either. Maybe Dallas sucks defensively. I mean, think about what they did in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, but they're putting up big points.
They got worked.
I mean, 2 weeks in a row. I know that it's Carolina and I know that it's Dallas, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't think Dallas' defense sucks, but I know that the Saints have been putting up big, big numbers.
Yeah, I don't want to take anything away from the Saints. Not that anybody cares in New Orleans about what we're saying here on Pittsburgh Radio. 44 points against Dallas. 47 points against Carolina.
It's big number.
It's pretty good. Pretty good. Up until halftime, not to get like totally sidetracked on New Orleans Saints talk here, up until halftime, they had not scored on a possession yet.
Mm-hmm.
Insane. All right, we'll get back to the backyard brawl as we move forward in the show. We're kind of toggling back and forth. But up next, Doran, you ready to give some grades out?
Yes.
Let's give some grades out.
Do it.
We could throw a pick grade or two in there.
I like that too.
Eli Holstein. Are there enough pluses to put behind that A?
There's not.
I don't think there are.
There's not.
We got a football guy in with us every day. Played in the NFL for 6 years. His name is Doran Dickerson. It's why you listen to the show. And every Monday he's going to give us some player grades. And those player grades brought to us by Bet365. First, though, the 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Want to get some of your Steelers grades, but let's look at the backyard brawl real quick here, Doran. Eli Holstein.
A++.
I think you're wrong.
A++.
There you go. We were just talking about this during the break. Desmond Reed is, it's early, but Desmond Reed is one of the more explosive players in all of college football.
Yes.
And he has 11 carries for 26 yards. Desmond Reed had 4 catches for 50 yards, so he still had an impact on the game, but they stopped him. They shut him down. They took him out of the game running the ball,
mm-hmm.
and Pitt puts up 31 offensive points. I think that's a good sign for Pitt moving forward.
Yes. Yeah, the other guys that could step up.
Yep.
That was a part of my post game, and you know, when we were talking about it, and you know, being able, with West Virginia shutting down the run, you found other ways to win, and whenever you have to manufacture other ways to win, whenever your most explosive player is being bottled down, that's whenever the opportunity for other guys to step up, it comes into play. And I said this before the season, I was like, I didn't realize how many, I thought the receiver spot for Pitt this year, I was like, I don't know who's going to make that big play at receiver. I remember telling you that offline. And then after the first game, I was like, well, they actually have some explosive guys that can make plays. Poppy Williams, Kenny Johnson, Kanate Muntfield, Sincere Lee. Like, they have a few guys. And then Dejon Reynolds, his first time, his first rep this season, he scores a touchdown.
That was his first rep.
That was his first rep.
Get out of here.
His first rep. And I think he was almost basically a starter last year. So you got other guys that can step up, but you have to step up in the moment whenever those things happen, and the guys did.
You know what, to that point, Kenny Johnson, 5 catches for 79 yards, but he didn't do much of anything after the first drive, first couple of drives. That was it. So they put they bottled him up, they bottled Desmond Reed up, and then you get Mumfield who goes 6 for 76. Dejon Reynolds makes, for my money, that's the play of the game right there. Gavin Bartholomew is a big part of this, 2 for 20. So, I got to be careful about how I'm saying this. West Virginia did a good job taking away some of the big-time guys, and yet Pitt still put up 31 points.
Yes.
So my point being, like you said in the postgame, Pitt's just going to find ways to put up points offensively.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter who it's going to be. As long as you've got number 10 back there pulling the trigger, it lifts everybody else up. On to the Steelers. Their quarterback, Justin Fields. What grade do you give him?
See, like, I was expecting it to be better because of the full week. And I think last week I gave him a B+, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to go down to a B. I don't know if I want to go lower than the B because he was efficient with the football and he got the W. They scored a touchdown, which they didn't do last week. So I'm trying to look at the positives. It just didn't look any really different than last week. And that's why I have to lower it. It's not that he potentially lost them the game or that he won them the game. He was just, you know, doing what he was doing.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything spectacular. So I got to go B. I could go C+, but I'm going to go B.
That's what I would go. I would go C+. Like, first half, I thought he did a lot of good things, and I thought that the penalties really did them in. Like, it looked different. It looked better in the first half, I thought, than it did against Atlanta. But then, on the whole, it looked worse than Atlanta. They scored 5 fewer points. They got totally bogged down in the second half. I mean, the second half, Denver had more yards. Denver had more first downs. The Steelers only had one first down that wasn't aided by penalty in the second half. So I'll go C+ for Justin Fields. He had a quarterback rating of 97.3, which is really good, but it didn't feel that way.
Right.
Last week he had a quarterback rating over 90, which is really good, especially given one day of practice. It didn't necessarily feel that way. So some of the stats are hitting me in a way that I don't think, and so I try to juggle this. Let me say it this way. If Kenny Pickett was putting up 97 quarterback ratings, I think I'd have been drooling.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd have been really happy with that. But I think my expectations with this offensive coordinator, with all the skills that Justin Fields has, are better than 13 for 20 for 117 yards. It needs to be better than that. Anybody else that sticks out to you that you wanted to grade? Like, defensively, I think everyone almost just gets an A.
Well, I'm probably going to go Najee Harris. Najee Harris had 69 yards.
Nice.
You like that? He had around the same.
He had 70 week one.
70 week one. Like he
20 looks, carries for 70 week one. Sorry, Doran.
He looks
17
like a different
for 69.
Player.
Yeah.
He does look like a different player. Now, it's not crazy either, but, you know, if you're averaging around 70 yards a game, like I was expecting him to have a big year and have that chip on his shoulder. He looks like a different player.
And they rushed for 141 yards. I thought that Jalen Warren looked a lot more like Jalen Warren.
Yeah. And he got more opportunities to do that, too.
He did. 9 carries for 42 yards. I would probably bring Najee down to around 14 carries and bump Jalen Warren up to around 13 carries. I'd like to see more 50-50. I wonder if that'll be the case now that he looked a little bit more explosive in this game. I'd give Jalen Warren, for his limited action, I'd give him an A.
Yeah.
And they ran for 141 yards. That much has been exactly what you thought you would get from an Arthur Smith offense. They rushed it for 137 last week. They rushed it for 141 this week. It wasn't until late in the season each of the last 2 years that they've been able to do that. So I know that they only scored 13 points. I'm not going to go lower than a B- for Arthur Smith. I think at the end of the day, you want to see points. So I can't go higher than that. But I actually think that he did a pretty good job of doing and calling a game that he was probably asked to call by Mike Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
412-928-9370. Your thoughts on those grades. What grade do you give Justin Fields? We still got to give away those Sebastian Maniscalco tickets.
Scalco.
Maniscalco? We still got to give away those Sebastian Maniscalco tickets. So what grade do you give Justin Fields? 412-928-9370. That's the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, trusted Pittsburgh plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Best caller wins a pair of tickets to go see that stand-up comedian. And then we got to get into the defense. We haven't touched on the defense yet. And they look like they might be the best in the league. We'll get to that. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com.